You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
I'm going to dive into our continuing sermon series to the book of Hebrews. In case you don't know, my name is Keith. I am one of the leaders around here. And this morning, we're looking at one of the most well-known passages in the Bible about the Bible. If you've been in the church for more than a couple years, you most likely have heard this passage preached on before, taught on before. And if you've never heard this passage before, friends, you're in for a treat, because it's a good passage, it's a challenging passage, and a very insightful passage. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Hebrews chapter 4. We will start in verse 12. And before we read today's text, let's acknowledge that the presence of the Lord is in the room right now. Let's ask the Spirit of God to open up our hearts and our minds for what he has for us this morning. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, I thank you for the work you're doing in our church, the work you're doing in us. And Holy Spirit, we want more. More fruit, more Christ-likeness built into me and to us. So I pray that your word would return to you fruitful today, that we would be changed as you have given us your word to look at. Open up our hearts and our minds. What is you have for us today? We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, I got to remind us, like I do most weeks, where we're at in the book of Hebrews. We're in Hebrews chapter 4 this morning. And leading up to this chapter, we've seen the past couple weeks, the passages have been filled with these warnings and invitations. Warnings from God and invitations from God from how God's people are to relate to him as the king. For example, we've seen that we're called to fix our thoughts on Jesus. That's chapter 3, verse 1. Fix our thoughts on Christ. We're then called to interact with Jesus by not letting our hearts get hard. We can let our hearts get hard and turn away. He says, don't do that. It's later on, interact with each other through the interact with the body of Christ through encouraging one another. And then last week we saw this calling to rest and enjoy the Lord. And so leading up to this morning's passage, we've seen both warnings, do not harden your hearts, and invitations, rest, enjoy the Lord, enjoy and be part of just resting in him. So that's the context, these warnings, these invitations. And then we come to today's passage, which starts off by saying this: for the word of God is alive and active. Now, we should probably step back and say, what is the word of God, right? Let's define what the word of God is. And actually, there is some debate about what this means. Some scholars come to Hebrews chapter 4, we read about the word of God, and say, well, the word of God is Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. And we can see this elsewhere in the Bible. For example, John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. See that? And then verse 14. The word became flesh, Christmas, Jesus, right? And dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so some folks come to Hebrews chapter 4, they read the word of God is alive and active, and they rightfully understand and conclude that Jesus is living and Jesus is active, so he's the subject of this passage, right? Now, other folks come, and they'll argue the writer of Hebrews has been using so much Old Testament scripture up to this point, right? We've seen scripture quote after scripture quote after scripture quote. And he's simply making an extension of that, showing how the Bible, how the word of God, which he or she's been using leading up to this point, is alive and active and points people to Jesus. And actually, I, along with many other scholars, think it's both and, actually. It's both and. Specifically, this passage is talking about the Bible as the word of God, which points to Jesus, who's the word become flesh. You see, friends, Jesus and the Bible, the word of God, are so woven together that to try to separate them is to do a disservice to both of them. It really is. If we don't have the Bible as a foundation that we come to, we very quickly will reimagine Jesus into whatever we want him to be. I've seen people on the left do this. I've seen people on the right do this. I've seen moderates do this. If we don't use this as an authoritative foundation, we will remake Jesus into whatever we want him to be. At the same time, if Jesus is not our foundation, if him as the word is not our foundation, this book is not only lifeless, this book will be dangerous. This book, used apart from the love of Christ and the knowledge of Christ and the Spirit of God, is a dangerous thing. And it's been used to enslave people, oppress women. And it's just, it's dangerous and apart from the Word of God and the Spirit of God and Jesus being glorified. And so the Word of God is alive and active. The immediate context is clear. So many Old Testament quote after quote after quote. The Word of God is the Bible, which Hebrews quoted over and over again leading up to now. But ultimately, we're talking about Jesus, who the Bible tells us is alive and active and the reigning King of the universe. And so it's both and. The Word of God is the Scriptures and it's Jesus, the Word become flesh. All right, let's continue. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Sharper than any double-edged sword. That's a serious matter, right? We should not take that lightly. And remember, leading up to this morning's passage, Hebrews has said over and over again, God's people, be careful. Your hearts can easily become hard. Your hearts can become numb to the things of God. You have this tendency to not hear the word and to follow the word. It's coming to hear it, but then reject it with our lives. And we've seen this warning over and over again. For example, it said in Hebrews 4:7, right before this, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And friends, that's me. I do this with the Word of God at times, and I know some of you do it as well. We ignore the Word, or we harden our hearts, and we don't respond, or we minimize it with our actions and with our priorities. And so as we start off this morning, Riversiders, today, I mean, right now, today, the Word of God's alive, right? It's not 2,000 years ago. Right now, this very moment, the Word of God's alive and active. It's powerful. So listen up. And do not harden your hearts. Because you see, if the Bible is alive and active, it means it's not just a history book. There is great history in this book, don't get me wrong, but it's more than a history book. It means this book is not just a book of laws. Now, there are some laws in this book, but it's more than just laws. This book is not just a book of stories, although there are some stories, amazing stories, that God gave us to really illustrate what grace is and what the kingdom is and what judgment is, but it's more than a book of stories. It's alive. It's living. And it's a powerfully sharp tool that God can use to form us and to guide us. And for example, read about this elsewhere in the Bible. For example, in Acts, we read this. Moses received, Old Testament, Moses received, this is the book of Acts though, Moses received living words to pass on to us. See that? Living words. The Word of God is alive. It's accomplishing things right now. Or as stated in Isaiah 55, so is my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes for which I sent it. And friends, this is great news because here's what it means. You do not have to rely on the words or the emotions or the thoughts of a pastor. Can I get an amen? Amen, right? You can come to the actual Word of God yourself and read them and interact with them, knowing that God himself will use them, right? To form you and accomplish and achieve his purposes in you and through you. And for me, this is awesome because here's the deal. In light of this promise from God that his word will go out and accomplish his purposes, there's very little pressure on me to entertain you. Isn't that awesome? It's at least awesome for me. I mean, there's very little pressure on me. My job is to use this to point you to Jesus. Encourage you to listen to the word. And I know that God himself is going to accomplish what he desires. And he himself will achieve the purposes that he's going to accomplish for which he sent the word. So I don't have to perform for you. I don't have to motivate you in the kingdom. I don't have to I don't even need you like my style of preaching. As long as I point you to the scriptures that point you to Jesus. That's also, friends, by the way, why we have a pretty diverse teaching team here at Riverside, right? Isn't that a good thing? I mean, I'm not the only one who comes up here and teaches on Sunday morning. 2 weeks ago, John Meyer, who serves in our student ministry, he came up and he preached the word. And Amy Hotelling, who just dedicated her daughter today, in 3 weeks, Amy will be up here preaching Hebrews chapter 7. And buckle up, she picked a doozy of a passage, Melchizedek. I don't know why you picked that one. But she's a great scholar, and she's a great teacher. Later in this series, Susan Titus and Isla Woollett and Kyle Lance and Pastor Benji will all walk us through different passages, and I will also be up here quite a bit. I just love how different each of our styles are, and certainly we have preferences, right? I mean, we have preferences when it comes to teaching and preaching, But at the end of the day, preferences do not matter. What matters is the Word of God, which points us to the resurrected Jesus. And while I might be good at talking, for some of you, I might be motivating, for some of you, I might not. At the end of the day, no matter what, I can't transform you. I can't. My teaching will not transform you. I simply can point you to the living, breathing, alive Word of God, which points to the Word become flesh, and trust. And remember, according to Hebrews, this Word is sharper than any double-edged sword. So it's not just alive, it's active and it pierces. It can speak to the deepest parts of our lives. I mean, listen to what it says next. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. Listen to this, friends. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from the sight of God. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So the Word of God penetrates. It cuts open. It lays bare our lives before God to whom we must give an account. So according to this passage, friends, God cares about the deepest part of us, right? The deepest parts. Everything in us is uncovered and laid bare before God. See, God comes in and exposes our posturing, right? He comes in and exposes our religiosity, exposes our false beliefs, exposes the things that we believe that are lies from the enemy, exposes the parts of sin that we're still clinging to at times. See, in other words, God gets into our business. That's really what it says. God gets into our business. And when you read about this, God has this like double-edged sword that penetrates even to where it divides the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. The picture I have is of God as a surgeon with a very sharp scalpel. I mean, I guess you could picture God as like a sword-wielding maniac, like, wah! I don't picture God that way. I picture God in his word as a scalpel saying, Keith, I love you. We got to get deep down on this one, though. And he cuts, uses the word as a trained surgeon with a very sharp instrument for our good. He gets in my business, though. Everything's uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him we must give account. It's deep stuff. Remember, friends, this is in the context of warning. The context is, God said, do not harden your hearts. That's leading up to this passage. Do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear his voice, move towards him, not away from him. So don't let the word that you hear this morning be meaningless to you, friends. Embrace it and trust it and apply it and walk in it. The Bible is sharper than any double-edged sword. Yet, let's be honest. Can we be honest for a second? For many times in my, maybe it's just me, probably never you, I find my life more dull. You know how a knife can become dull? Like it's almost like pointless after a while. My life becomes dull when it's not cared for. And my excitement, and maybe it's just me, but our excitement, our love for Christ can become dull at times. We face the realities of life. Maybe it's suffering or it's pain or just the mundane routine of life. We find ourselves stuck in patterns. And we've seen so far in Hebrews, it's easy to get stuck. And what we're about to see in chapters 5 and 6, it's real easy to become numb to the grace of God. It's real easy to become dull to the presence of Christ. And friends, as we read this next part of the passage, let me just tell you, there's some urgency in it. There's some like, guys, you got to hear this. That's what the passage will communicate, okay? Now, I'm going to skip over a bunch of verses that talk about Jesus as our high priest. Don't worry. I'm coming back to that next week and talking about that all next week, okay? So for now, we're going to kind of jump over a little bit of the first few verses of chapter 5 to verse 11, see what the Word of God continually does in our lives. So verse 11, we have much to say about this. This is Jesus as our high priest. But this is Jesus as our high priest. We have much to say about Jesus being the high priest. But it's hard to make it clear to you, church, because you're not trying to understand anymore. You see, there are some things about the Word of God that are hard to understand. Amen? There are just some things that are hard to understand at times. Like what it means for Jesus Christ to be our high priest. But we're going to see the real issue is not that the theology was hard. We're going to see the real issue is that they're not even trying. to understand the deeper things of God. Verse 12, in fact, though this time you ought to be teachers, you've been in the church long enough, you should be teachers, you still need someone to teach you the elementary things of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. And anyone who's on milk, being still an infant, you're not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. See, solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, friends, let us move on from the elementary teachings about Christ and be taking forward in maturity and not having to lay again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and faith in God. We need to have that foundation and the instruction about cleansing rites and laying on of hands and the resurrection and eternal judgment. Those are important foundational things, but there's even more. And God permitting, we will do so. We will. Jump to verse 11. You see, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end. So that for what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy. We want you to imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit what have been promised. Church, don't become lazy. Imitate those who are living out their faith and are engaging with Jesus in the Word. Now, friends, we'll start to unpack this next week. And actually, from the end of chapter 4 all the way through chapter 10, Jesus is the high priest is the central theme. So we're going to have a couple different weeks here unpacking a pretty important, critical, somewhat hard to grasp reality. It's complex. It's deep. It's important. It takes some thoughtfulness. But what's happening is that God's people are no longer trying to understand. And the issue is not that this theological topic that we'll start looking at next week is too hard. That's not the issue. The issue is that their people's hearts have become dull. That's the issue, friends. They've become dull. They've become lazy. And the issue is not the subject matter of him being the high priest is hard. The issue is the hardness of their heart, the dullness of their heart, their laziness in terms of pursuing the things of God. And they've become dull to the word of God. Can I just be honest? That probably describes some of us in the room, right? Can we just, not you, of course, some of them, right? Definitely not you. Amen? Okay, if you just amen, you probably lied a little bit. That's fine. I set you up for that one. You see, this entire section leading up is this warning, right? Do not be dull. Do not harden your hearts. Do not be dull. Do not be lazy. Pursue knowing Jesus intimately. And Hebrews is saying that God's word is trying to stir us from our spiritual dullness. God's word is being used by God to spur us on from our laziness towards the things of God. Okay, I need some participation on this. How many of you have known Jesus, have been a Christian, been walking with Christ for at least 20 years? Raise your hand high. If you've been a Christian for at least 20 years. Now keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. All right, good, good, good. If that's you, you've likely heard over 1,000 sermons. You're like, wow. That's over 24 straight days of nonstop preaching. Now, if you've had your hands up, have you ever been sitting there listening to my preaching or some other sermon and going, I know where he's going. I've heard this one before. I know exactly where he's about to go. I mean, exactly. Yep, Oh, here comes the giving sermon. We're 3 sentences in, and I know what's going to happen. Oh, here it comes. I know where we're going. I'll listen to other preachers at times, and literally by the 3rd sentence, I know their outline. Oh, I know where they're going. I know which commentary they read. I know where we're going on this one. I've heard a lot of this stuff already. And sometimes I go, God, is there anything new? Is there anything fresh? I wonder how many of us sing these worship songs that we sing, and you sit back and you realize, I just don't feel it the way I used to feel it. I mean, I used to have these stirring emotions of love and overflowing. We'd say these amazing words to God and be like, God, this is how I feel about you. And these songs describe some pretty amazing realities of his kingdom, right? But now we're just like, God, you're great. God, you're awesome. Is it just me? Or do you sometimes go through the motions? It's just me. Okay, I'm not confessing. Okay, it's just me at least then. How many of you at times have felt lazy in your habits, lazy in your prayer life, or lazy in your devotional life? Have you ever started feeling, yeah, I'm starting strong with Jesus, it's a new year, but then after a while you get tired, you get weighed down, you begin to drift, and you're now somewhat numb to the things of God? Is that just me? Please, okay, thank you for someone saying it's not just me. Three of you are now honest. And what Hebrews is saying to all of us is, wake up! Wake up! We've all got this little bit of dullness in us. Some of us got more dullness in us, and we need a sharp-edged sword to come alongside and sharpen us. And you and I have some initiative to take in this. We have a role to play in this. Listen to this. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear because you don't even try. You're not even trying to understand. I'm just reading scripture to you right now, by the way, so don't get mad at me. Get mad at the scripture. In fact, you should be teachers by now, people. But you still need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God all over again. And that's the problem. They're stagnant. Now listen to this imagery. You need milk, not solid food. And anyone who lives on milk is still an infant. You're not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness and the bigger things of our faith, but solid food's for the mature, people who have, by constant use of the scriptures and by the Spirit of God, had trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You see, the whole idea here is there should be some development in our faith, right? There's got to be some growth. Yes, we all start out as newbies in the faith, right? Everyone starts off at one point as a newbie in the faith, and then, but eventually we should grow up to spiritual toddlers, right? And eventually we should grow into spiritual teenagers. Lord have mercy, right? I got 5 teenagers, spiritual teenagers. Oh my goodness. Thankfully, we don't just stop there. We grow into adults, right? You see, there's this normative, progressive development in our faith. If you're following Christ, you should expect to grow. It's an expectation. If you're following Christ, you should expect to grow. But many people in the church, many pastors in the church, many times even your pastor, gets lazy, gets dull. And we're more like, no, I'm fine being an infant. Just give me milk, Keith. And again, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just reading the scripture to you. I mean, some of you ought to be teachers by now. This is the scripture. It's not me. But some of you ought to be teachers by now. You've walked with Jesus so long, right? You should be leading and teaching, and yet you need someone still to teach you the basic things of faith. All over again. Many Christians in America should be feeding themselves fruits and vegetables, spiritual sense, and yet we coast and we're okay with baby formula. It's really weird. It's really weird. And friends, if you're feeling uncomfortable right now, don't get mad at me. I'm just continually rereading the scripture to you. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. In other words, feed yourself. Feed yourself some steak and potatoes. Or some tofu, if that's your thing. That's fine, too. Spiritual tofu's got protein. That's a good thing. But regardless, at least get off the basic things of milk, people. Solid foods for the mature who by constant use, listen to this, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So many folks in the church would be spiritual adults, leading and teaching, but we're still infants. Nursing at the breast. And it's just weird. And it's not normal. Now, friends, when my kids were little, I have 5 teenagers now, but when my kids were little, we started transitioning them from milk. Aww. I love that. My little girl. Started transitioning them from milk to solid food. Now, at first, they wanted nothing to do with it. I don't know if you're a parent, and you've tried to transition your kid from milk to solid food. At first, they throw the solid food to the ground. They smack the spoon away, which is why you have to do the old, because they don't really want it. You have to trick them, right? Open up, here comes the airplane. And they're like, because the texture's weird. It tastes weird to them. They're used to milk. Now, I need a bunch of amens on this next statement, okay? Praise God, my 5 teenagers are not on milk anymore. Amen? Amen? Yeah! How many of you would choose baby food right now, a formula over a solid meal? Wouldn't that be weird? That'd be really weird. There's no way after you experience steak and potatoes or tofu, you would go back to baby formula. This is weird. If you saw one of my five teenagers walking in with a bottle and a formula and they mix it up and they shake it up, you'd be like, and if one of my teenagers were still kind of going, I don't like the taste, I don't like the texture, and they keep spitting it out, there'd be something wrong, right? And I would take them to a doctor. I'd say, doctor, there's something wrong here. They're not getting proper nourishment. I mean, if an adult is still gagging and spitting up solid food, something's wrong, right? And we try to address that. We get medical intervention. And friends, that's the picture Hebrews is giving us. Many of us should be adults in the faith, mature in the faith, skilled by now, knowing right from wrong, and yet we're still gagging on the most basic spiritual food. Many should be feeding ourselves, but we're satisfied with someone else feeding us like an infant. I wonder how many of us have tried to start feeding ourselves, but then you just kind of, you don't like the texture. Maybe you start gagging. You just quit. You know, just give up, you know? Just, I'm done. Maybe this past January, you're like, you know what? I'm going to read through the Bible this year. You know, most Januaries, I'm going to read through the entire Bible this year. Yes. And you read through Genesis and you made it. And you get to Exodus and you made it. And you get to Leviticus and you're like, oh, Leviticus. Ugh. I wonder how many of you took our church devotional that started beginning this year. And you started a journey through it, say, I'm going to be in the Word of God this year. I'm going to be in the Word of God of the church. And then after a week, you just kind of stopped. You just kind of gave up. And now instead of listening to sermons on Sunday morning, you don't have much engagement with the Word of God. And maybe even more importantly, I wonder how many of us have read things in the Scriptures that we don't agree with, or that we're convicted about in terms of our lifestyle or about our choices. And maybe the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you, but you just don't care. You don't care. You're just numb. You're numb to the things of God, so you ignore the voice of God, and you're getting dull and numb to the things of God. How many times have you said, I'm going to get up 20 minutes earlier now and just pray and read the Scriptures for 20 minutes and pray, and after 3 days, you like chuck that alarm clock. Even the snooze button's broken, so you hit it so hard, and you're just done, right? The whole idea of getting up 20 minutes earlier, you're just done with it. You're snoozing. You're numb. Friends, it's a sign of dullness. And if you want to come out of your dullness, you've got to learn to feed yourselves. You got to work through the awkward stage of moving from milk to solid food. And you might, the texture might be a little weird. It might be something you're not used to. You might prefer, at times you might want to spit it up. But you got to push through it, friends. You got to push through it and say, God, I know you have something in this for me. God, I know your word is alive and your word is active. And like it says in Hebrews, I want you to grow me and to form me. So Holy Spirit, would you use this to form me? Friends, you need to learn to feed yourselves. You need to learn to feed yourselves. And look. Hebrews 6:12 makes it very clear. Christian community is critically important, okay? So I'm not saying this on your own. Hebrews 6:12 is important. And I think it even says there's a very real value in things like preaching. There's a value in preaching the word of God in a church setting. There's value for that. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But you need to learn to feed yourself too. You got to grow in personal discipline. You got to learn to feed yourself spiritually. And look, I know that some of you are stuck right now. And look, please don't hear. I'm not mad at you. Some of you are stuck right now. You're just stuck. And you might be even feeling a little convicted, but also you're like, you're still even a little dull and numb right now. And you don't have much hope it's going to change, right? I've heard this sermon before, Keith. Like, it's not going to change. But friends, I want to encourage you. It's possible. Listen, chapter 6, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward in maturity. And look at verse 3, friends. This is so encouraging. And God permitting, we will do so. We'll do so. See, right now, God is saying to everyone in this room, from the pastor to the youngest person in this room, God is saying right now, I have more for you. I've got more for you. There is so much more. There's a banquet. there's so much more formation and good stuff for you. And Riverstars, I think many of us have a strong foundation on Christ. We've just gotten lazy, dull, and numb. I mean, verse 2 states, a lot of us have a strong foundation. I'm not talking about the foundational things. We have strong foundations. The foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and faith in God. So a lot of us have the building blocks. Amen? You got the building blocks. It's great, but we've become complacent. And somewhere along the line, we've just stopped building. And friends, there's greater fullness and there's greater life and there's amazing food in your future, but you got to put the effort in. You got to put the effort in. You got to put the effort in. Now, this is the last thing I'm going to say, and I promise you it'll be brief. Our diligence, our effort, our pursuit of solid food, our pursuit to grow is only because we've turned our attention to Jesus, the high priest. And we start preaching on what next week, what Jesus, the high priest means, you will be amazed at the work that he does. So yes, I am calling us all to effort. And grace is not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning, said Dallas Willard. But even then, friends, what comes before these passages and what comes after these passages is that Jesus is the one that does the ultimate work. The Spirit of God is the one that's using the sword to form us. We have a role, but Jesus is the high priest, and that will be amazing as we unpack it the next few weeks together. See, our ultimate solid food is turning our attention to Christ. He's the foundation. He's our cornerstone. And when we meet with him, we grow in knowledge of his word. As that happens, well, then we grow in maturity. And we're transformed by the Spirit of God. And if we don't encounter Jesus, well, then there's nothing to build with. But man, we build on the foundation of Christ. Woo! It's a good thing. I'm so thankful that Jesus is our high priest. And it's amazing, friends. You can read that on your own this week, by the way. He meets with us. He sacrifices for us. He lives for us. He spurs us on. He's the one that pursues us even when we're dull, even when we're lazy. His love is amazing. That's what we celebrate each week. Typically, each week, we respond by coming to table communion here at Riverside. But this week, we're celebrating a meal together, right? We're going to gather around tables of soup and break bread after the service as we interact with our mission partner, Nasha. So this morning, communion will be around the tables that we will have together. So we're not going to come forward and take small elements. We're going to actually have a meal that are elements together, okay? So this morning, we're going to respond by singing to God together. And I'm going to encourage you as the band comes up. Some of us are dull. And just pray. Say, God, would you use your word? Would you use your spirit? Would you open me up? Would you form me? Would you encourage me? Would you give me visions? Would you give me pictures? And then just know this, friends. There's no condemnation for those in Christ. And so as if you're dull right now, if you're numb right now, please know the Bible says, the scripture says there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So I'm not mad at you. God's not mad at you. He's inviting you to more. He's inviting you to more. He's not condemning you. He's saying, oh, I got more for you. Come, let's go. There's so much more. So even this morning, I hope you're encouraged by the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God and the presence of God. So would you stand with me as we pray and continue to sing to Jesus? God, I thank you that your word is here, that we don't have to, oh my goodness, Lord, if this church had to rely on the emotions of a 40-year-old pastor, what a wreck we would be. Oh my gosh, Lord, thankfully, we don't rely on me. We rely on your word and on your spirit and on the discernment and community, God. So I'm so thankful, God. And we acknowledge this morning that we need you. We need your spirit. We need your word to open us and to form us. We need the work of God's people around us to form us and shape us. And so we're thankful, God. So God, would you continue to do the practical and predictable work that you do in us? You predictably work in a way that forms us to more and more mature, Christ-like followers of Christ. And would you do that work this morning? Thank you for your love. Thank you for your pursuit. Thank you for never giving up on us. And God, I pray for my friends who are really dull in the room this morning. I pray that they would know how much you love them, how much you are pursuing them, how much you care for them. God, would you just show them your love through your word, your invitation to grace through your word. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.